It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're on Capitol Hill, and we ran into the Honorable G.T. Thompson from the 15th Congressional District of Pennsylvania. And I'll introduce you as the ranking member of the House Ag Committee, but you won't get to keep that on your business card for very long, will you?
No. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. It's always good to see you. Thanks for being a great voice for rural America and America's number one industry, agriculture. No, it looks like, at least at this point, I'm going to have to invest in some new business cards that may say chairman of the House Agriculture Committee. Recently, by a very slim margin, obviously, the Republicans taking the majority in the 118th Congress.
Now, this comes at a time when I think you've really been preparing for this for a long time now, but the writing of a 23 farm bill, what do you see?
Yeah, and I'm so thankful for the privilege of the experience of being a part of the 2014 farm bill. During that farm bill, I chaired the Conservation Forestry Watersheds and Soils Subcommittee. 2018, I was vice chair of the committee, the full committee, and actually was the chair of the nutrition subcommittee. So 2023, the end of September, this current farm bill expires. And, you know, there only are three options. We let it expire, and that's not really an option, right? If that would happen, we would revert to Dust Bowl era legislative language. That would hurt every American family and every family that works so hard to provide this nation with food, fiber, building materials, and energy resources. So that's not an option. Number two is we could kick the can down the road. We do an extension. But that's a failure to do our job, because I think there's improvements to be made in, well, first of all, protecting crop insurance, but improving it. You know, learning from some of the disaster experiences we've had. There's questions about whether how well reference prices are going to work in a day when, with inflation, you know, at least with most commodities, record high commodity prices, right? But with inflation, it's the margin you're left with at the end of the day. So there's improvements that we can make that we know today, and quite frankly, we'll get a better feel for going forward with hearings and listening sessions. And then the final option, which really, in my mind, is the only option, we get our job done. And we get it done before this one expires.
That's going to take work not only by the Ag Committee, but you mentioned it, subcommittee work as well. Are you encouraged by at least what you see on the horizon, if we don't have any details as of yet?
I think so. And starting with the most important resource that the Ag Committee has, and I would divide into two categories. One is the members, and we have some real talent for members, folks who've been serving as in ranking member positions and rank and file members of the Agriculture Committee, are just passionate and work hard. And then the other part is I was just so blessed to have a great Agriculture Committee staff. And we're going to grow that staff in the majority, but what a great core group to begin with. And that's where this happens. We don't have to rewrite the entire farm bill. We just need to determine what needs to be tweaked, what needs to be updated. And that's why it's going to be very intense, starting in January. We need to increase the intensity here on Capitol Hill with hearings, and then we need to take this show on the road, just like we did in 2014 and 2018. We need to be going out and doing in different regions of the country to be here directly from the farmers and the ranchers, the processors, the key stakeholders in rural America.
When you hear from those stakeholders, one of the common things that happens is you'll get praise for the work that you're doing, which is always good to hear. But how important is it to hear some of the criticism of things that aren't working with a solution attached?
It's always nice when you hear good things. I will say, as a member of Congress, that doesn't happen very often. Criticism kind of flows pretty freely in this job, but that's a part of being a public servant, right? It is critically important that people give their critical opinions where they have input on any of the titles of the Farm Bill. You know, what's working, what's not working, how can we improve upon? And I always push people. You know, because I do believe that there's no one knows a problem, knows potential solutions better than the person living with the problem, right? And I call that homegrown solutions. That's worked well in my service here in the House of Representatives, and that'll be something we've always valued with the Farm Bill process. And my commitment also is to make this a good, strong, bipartisan, hopefully bicameral Farm Bill.
Let's talk about disaster now. We've seen disasters continuing again this year, and some questions on potential disaster relief, but running out of time. Where are we?
Well, you know, I want to, you know, there are two types of funding that we do that help farmers in this area. One is crop insurance, risk mitigation, obviously. We also have dairy margin coverage and livestock assistance. And those are good programs. Those are programs that provide certainty for the farmers and ranchers. They know what's out there. It's a public-private partnership. It's a strong public-private partnership. And farmers have, and ranchers have skin in the game, you know, and they can buy the mitigate whatever level of risk that they wish to do that. And it works really well. You know, I just looked at the dairy margin coverage and how it really helped dairy during the terrible, what I call the plague, COVID. Tony, 80% of what we've spent since the 2018 Farm Bill has been outside of the Farm Bill baseline. And so a lot of that was disaster relief, and it's important. I refer to it as ad hoc spending, right? The problem is there's no certainty. I mean, it's a battle to get it approved through Congress, to get it a president to sign it. Now, we tend to always get it done, but it's not timely either. So it provides uncertainty to farmers and ranchers, but it also for those creditors, because, you know, what's the rule of thumb we say? You know, the average farm family borrows more in a year to produce their crop or their commodity than what the average family borrows in a lifetime. And so those lenders, which we really depend on, are rural banks, farm credit, credit unions, whoever's lending that money to those farm families, they like the certainty of crop insurance. So that kind of leads us to the point, are there things we can learn from the past couple of years in terms of disaster relief that we should be incorporating into crop insurance to be able to bring certainty and timeliness to those payments? And that's part of what we need to do yet with more hearings. We need to set up a very intense schedule starting in January. And quite frankly, we need to be taking Republicans and Democrats like we've done in the past and going out and doing these regional listening sessions in different parts of the country. Looking forward to that. I've worked hard on that for the past 2 years myself as a ranking member. I've done my initial barnstorming tour of what I used to call rural America. I call it Essential America now. And I've been to 30 states, some states multiple times because we got some rather large agriculture states, and having a conversation, bringing people to the table, hearing what their needs are, because that's what the Farm Bill should be. It should be serving the needs of those folks who work so hard to provide us with food, fiber, building materials, and energy resources.
Well, for some, they might not know that the Ag Committee also has jurisdiction on things that we don't normally consider to be ag. And there was a hearing, I believe, last year on the idea of setting up an exchange that would trade basically cryptocurrency, I guess.
Digital commodities.
And you had a diverse group in there. Looking back and knowing where we are today, where do you see this going?
Yeah, it is surprising to people that we have jurisdiction over futures trading. But if you think about it, the just to kind of fill people in where that started from, you know, originally, obviously, we figured out that people could manage risk by selling futures and buying futures in different traditional agriculture commodities, corn, soybean, wheat. And so there was a division created within the U.S. Department of Agriculture to oversee that. At some point, somebody figured out, oh, if you can do that for traditional farm commodities, we can do that for gold, we can do that for oil, you know, non-agriculture commodities. I would argue the commodities that do come from rural America, though, much of it. So there was an agency created called the Commodities Future Trading Corporation. And the Agriculture Committee on both sides of the Capitol, in a bicameral way, has jurisdiction over the CFTC. And now we're looking at the next evolution, really, of the Internet, which is Internet 3.0, or Web 3.0, which is the Internet of Value. You know, we've all lived through successfully the Internet of Knowledge and then the Internet of Things, and now it's the Internet of Value. And so we do need to put some guidelines. And I think, you know, the most recent news that probably a lot of people have heard about with a particular organization kind of points to the need to have some boundaries. That particular organization actually was organized in the Bahamas, because the United States is lagging and sadly lagging behind the Bahamas, Malta, China. We don't have our guidelines set up to protect consumers, to foster innovation, because there'll be a lot of innovation with this Internet 3.0, the cryptocurrency world, and quite frankly, the blockchain technology that follows as a part of it. And so I think it's all the more reason. I mean, we've been working in a very transparent way for several years, deliberatively, to put forward legislation in the Agriculture Committee, and we do have a bill in the House. It's called the Digital Commodity Exchange Act. Would honor both of those principles. Well, actually, there are a number of principles, but it's protect consumers in the marketplace, foster innovation, and avoid complexity, right? Bureaucracy and complexity is not welcome, and it's not helpful. With the most recent news, I think it emphasizes a need why a bill like the Digital Commodity Exchange Act needs to become law.
So good to see you. Excited for you in the next session. Let's do this again.
Sounds good. Anytime. Appreciate it.
Again, it's the Honorable G.T. Thompson, representing the 15th Congressional District of Pennsylvania. He's also set to become the next chairman of the House Ag Committee. From Washington, D.C., I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.